6. What do you feel? Bride asked.
Shitty, Ronan replied.
I said, what? Not how. Hennessy?
I feel nothing,
Hennessy said,
except the feel of my arteries closing in anticipation. Smell that grease. I love it.
Bride shut the car door. This isn't going to make you feel better.
It's not going to make me feel worse, Ronan replied.
If life's taught me anything, Hennessy said, it's that you can always feel worse.
It had been nearly 24 hours since the three dreamers had left the Museum of Living History. They were parked in front of Benny's Dairy Bar, a decades-old fast food joint located somewhere in West Virginia. The sun burned golden over the worn-down mountains surrounding the town. The dreamers' shadows stretched thin across the faded lot. Ronan was starving. Bride shot an attentive look around at their surroundings as Hennessy shivered and Ronan spat. The sparse parking lot, the decaying town, the quiet road. He was looking for moderators. Moderators were why they were here instead of bedded down on a ley line. They'd barely left the day before when Bride had suddenly ordered Hennessy to send Burrito in a completely different direction. He'd gotten information somehow, in the mysterious way he sometimes did, that moderators were close. They couldn't risk leading them to their destination. Safer to stay in the invisible car until the coast was clear. Which meant they'd spent the past 24 hours dozing in the car and driving in circles.
Get down here, Ronan said to Chainsaw, who had flapped to a nearby tree.
Let's get this exercise over with, Bride said. This entire process is merely for demonstration, so I hope you are in an educational frame of mind. Ding, cried the door as the three dreamers entered Benny's Dairy Bar, where they found booths bolted to the walls, hard tables bolted to the floor, soft locals bolted to seats, thin burgers bolted to hands. Above the counter was a menu board without any pretense or spin. Hamburger, cheeseburger, 2-patty, 3-patty, fries, double fry, soft serve 1, soft serve 2. Behind the counter, employees wore purple Benny's t-shirts. Golden oldies played overhead. Something, something, Mrs. Brown has a lovely daughter, something, something. It had a vague bleach smell which might have otherwise turned Ronan off. But not right then. He instead thought only about the other smell, grease. Salt. Food. As they stepped in, everyone in the restaurant stared. 6 diners, 2 standing in line at the counter, 1 at the pickup area, a cashier, probably another few employees in the back. Witnesses, that was what they called them. People who would remember a black girl in a crochet crop top and leather, a dude with a shaved head and a raven now back on his shoulder, and a hawk-nosed man with an expression that suggested he'd never felt fear in his life. This was why they never stopped at restaurants. Hennessy held out her hands grandly.
This is a stick-up.
Bride sighed heavily and fished one of his dripped silver orbs out of the pocket of his gray jacket. At one of the tables, a teen was already lifting a cell phone to take a video or photo of the newcomers. Bride said very simply, no. With a gentle flick of his wrist, he tossed the orb. He didn't have many. He said they were expensive, and Ronan believed it. Ronan wouldn't have known the first thing about dreaming them into being. He would have been too afraid to, because they messed with emotions, and they twisted thoughts, and they erased memories, some more permanently than others. Ronan was uneasy dreaming anything that altered free will. The bewildering security system at the barns was the furthest he was willing to go. Bride's orbs, on the other hand, were like dreaming brain surgery. Such sophistication required more control than Ronan felt he had. Pwing! The tossed orb hit the teen's poised cell phone. Both went flying. The phone toward Bride's feet, the orb under a booth. Bride pocketed the fallen cell phone.
Hey, said the teen.
You can't do that,
remarked the cashier, but he didn't say anything else because a second later, Bride's orb exploded.
A cloud of confusion billowed out from inside it. It began to work on the diners almost immediately. Some gazed at each other in confusion. Some slumped over. The orb wasn't designed to knock people out, but it was hard to predict how people would react to having their thoughts paused and memories flattened out.
"Your balls really are nifty things," Hennessy said. "Love to get my hands on them."
Bride ignored this. "Time is of the essence." But Hennessy pressed on. "Must have required a lot of practice. Wonder who you were practicing them on. Course you could have been practicing them on us, but we wouldn't remember, would we?" He ignored this too. "Do what you have to do, Ronan." Ronan was the one who'd asked him to stop for food, even though he knew it wasn't really allowed under the unspoken rules of their outlaw lifestyle. Food came from the cabinets and fridges of empty houses, places without cameras, places without people. Crackers and canned goods, deli meat and apples. But his hunger had been growing in the car, and now his body was howling that it couldn't last much longer.
"To the fryer," cried Hennessy as she vaulted over the counter. Ronan, however, went straight to the customer who stood motionless at the pickup counter. Not perfectly motionless, not like a statue, but rather like someone who had been walking through a store and just remembered she had forgotten something important back at home. She didn't blink or flinch as Ronan took a grease-spotted bag from one of her hands. He dumped the contents on the counter, unwrapped him, and ate them one after another. A burger, some fries, an apple pie. He was still starving. He took the milkshake from her other hand and drank it too. Strawberry, brain freeze. He finished it anyway, slamming the cup down on the counter as if it were a completed shot. Still starving. A guy at a nearby table had just started to unwrap his cheeseburger. Ronan completed the task for him as the guy blinked off into space. Down the hatch, then the large fries next to it. Then his date's chicken burger, even though it was disgusting. The pickle she'd abandoned beside it. Still starving. Hennessy's voice rose from the kitchen area.
"If you told me before all this that the best food in the world was stolen French fries, I would have laughed in your face, which only goes to show you one doesn't know what one doesn't know."
At the next booth, Ronan ate a melting soft serve, another burger, a salad with an orange, slimy dressing, and raw onions, a paper plate of hash browns, still starving. He hurled the paper plate to the ground, next table.
Bride watched him, expressionless. Hennessy's monologue was getting closer.
"I'm rededicating my life to these French fries. Before this time, I was a sinner, finding pleasure in wine, women, song, and sometimes cocaine and grand theft auto, living moment to moment, not thinking about the consequences of my actions on my own body or others. But now I have seen the light, and I will instead worship at the altar of stolen fries. I will paint murals in their honor. I will rename myself Tuba."
Ronan ate chicken nuggets, a hot dog, another milkshake, a barbecue sandwich, a corn dog, and some fried okra.
"Can we stop pretending it is food you're wanting now?" Bride asked mildly.
Ronan sank into a booth. The food sat inside him, heavy and pointless. Starving. Bride stood at the end of the booth.
"What do you feel?"
"Come on!"
"You might not be able to feel the ley line, but you can feel what happens to you when you don't have it, Grey Warren. Still, you pretend what you really need right now is a cheeseburger. Look around you. Look at yourself. We're fleeing because of your wheels, and this is where you come. There aren't two of you. Grey Warren, do you even know what it means?" Ronan realized this was the teachable moment. This was the reason Bride had used one of his precious orbs to hit up a fast food joint. Ronan didn't know what Grey Warren meant, but he knew it was important. His first dreamt forest, Cabeswater, had called him that.
His current force, Lindenmere, call him that. His dead father had somehow known to call him that, and Bride knew this name for him. He didn't know what he was supposed to be learning, so he gazed off at nothing, sullen.
Bride tapped Ronan's jaw with a single finger. Protector and guardian, that is what you are supposed to be. King and shepherd both. But look at you, sick in your avoidant gluttony.
There are not two of you.
Your waking self cannot ignore what your dreaming self needs because they are the same. Now you tell me, what is it you're really feeling? He pointed at Ronan's ear. Very slowly, Ronan reached up to his ear and pressed a finger into it. When he withdrew it, his fingertip was slicked with a dark ooze.
Nightwash. He was not starving for food. He was starving for the ley line. He was starving for dreaming. Why is it always me? He asked.
Bride said, I just told you.
The Nightwash came to Ronan far more often than it came to Hennessy.
It came when he waited too long between taking something from his dreams, as if to punish him for not doing what he had been built to do. But it also came to him when he was too far from the ley line, as if to punish him for trying to live a life that was built for someone else. Once the ooze started, he had less and less time before he began to feel ill, and presumably less and less time before it eventually would kill him.
I'm getting worse, he muttered.
Yes, Bride said.
Why even bother with me, then?
Because it is not just you. This mountain city used to be alive with ley energy. Did you see the river we drove beside for dozens of miles, the river the city straddles? It should be flowing with energy. This should be a mountain town of dreamers. But it fades, like the entire world fades. It breathes more and more slowly, and no one is listening to mark the end of its pulse. Few, I suppose. Few are listening. Hennessy asked, Hold up. Don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of kicking ass, taking names, so on and so forth. But if we're all going to bite it eventually because the world's dying, why save anyone from the mods? Is it sport to you? It's not sport to me.
Bride kept standing over Ronan.
What do you feel?
I can't do that, Ronan said. I'll never be able to do that, not while I'm awake.
Don't tell me my business, not while you're bleeding black. I have been at this for so much longer than you.
Bride looked out the big glass windows at the trees at the edge of the parking lot.
His eyes narrowed, his profile prickling that thing inside Ronan, that feeling of serendipity, of knowing, not knowing, knowing, not knowing. And then Bride asked, Do you two want to know what I was doing before you?
Hennessy and Ronan exchanged a look.
It wasn't dreamers I was saving, Bride said. It was ley lines.
Good, thought Ronan. Deep inside him he felt a certain peace, even alongside the turmoil of the Nightwash. Good. This was even better than what he had hoped. Yes, good. Long ago, Ronan had helped to wake the single ley line that ran beneath his forest. He had not known this was what he wanted of Bride until he said it.
And what were you saving the ley lines from?
Hennessy asked. Bride laughed. It was a laugh like his smile, contained and cunning.
Every plugged-in machine, every flat black road, every stacked-up suburb, every humming cell, choked and flattened and drowned and suppressed. Can you imagine a world where you could dream anywhere? God, Hennessy said.
Ronan pressed his ear into his shoulder as he felt the Nightwash trickle down his neck. Why aren't we doing that?
You, Bride answered simply. It's not a game for the reckless. It's not a game for those who go to sleep and bring everything they see back with them. It is a game that requires control, and right now you two have precious little of it. Look at your face. Feel your guts turning to grime, Ronan? Your game is this. Stop sucking. That is hard enough for you right now.
Hey, Hennessy said, I love a good roast, but come on now.
Bride waved a hand.
Why do you think we stopped here? When you two dream, there are consequences for every other dreamer who is living a little too far away from a ley line. Do you think you've killed anyone with your casual dreaming? Do you think you've pulled the ley line out from beneath a dreamer who needed it more than you? Has anyone died in Nightwash because of some plaything you pulled from a dream?
It was too easy to imagine. All the enormous things Ronan had dreamt over the years. All the living creatures, all the noisy machines, an entire forest. A brother? He couldn't quite bear to think too hard about it. Not now, not with the Nightwash eating away at him. Guilt was never too far away anyway.
You can't hide away from the consequences of who you are, Bride said. Don't laugh at me, Hennessy. How much power do you think it required to pull out all those girls with your face? You cannot do this carelessly. You're not children anymore.
Nightwash trickled out of Ronan's nostril. Hennessy threw her remaining fries back over the counter. They didn't look at each other. You're right, Ronan said finally. Now I really do feel shittier.
Good, Bride replied. Lesson over.